And I get to be the editor of the camera today, which is kind of fun. I don't get to do that. Well, everybody, you tell me now. Okay.
I've never preached with a camera in my face. At least it's camouflage on the back. So, yeah, appreciate the opportunity to speak today. And I did attend Northland back in the early 2000s. Started there in 2001. So if some of you are familiar with Northland, you understand the era and the changes that that school went through. I did attend that school, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak today. Glad to have Danny and his family back safely, and I was very thankful for Terry's message last week on prayer, and that actually goes right along with what I'd like to share with you today. So if you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 is what we're going to read today. But let's go ahead and pray before we read. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love to us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and gather and worship together. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have. Thank you for the true fellowship that we have through you, through your Son Jesus, in your Word. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be attentive to your Word today. Ask that your Spirit would speak to us and teach us what you would have. Lord, we ask that you would help me to say only those things that you would have. And that you would be in control of the message today, and that you would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. I'd like to read a story from Luke today, and then speak to you about your time and focus today, and the motivation for what you do. I like this story in Luke because it's always something that we need to be reminded of constantly. So as you, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, just a couple questions. Why do you do what you do each day? Do you have joy as you go throughout each day? Or are you really just handling life, so to speak? Do you have joy in living and serving and pleasing the Lord? We're going to look at a story of two women today. And one of the ladies had the right focus, spent her time wisely, and one did not. And this caused her to have kind of a wrong attitude and not a lot of joy in serving the Lord. And so let's read this this short story here in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here we have a story, a short story about Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus. And later on, I believe it would be later on in the ministry, Jesus would actually raise Lazarus, their brother, from the dead. But this story probably takes place before that in the town of Bethany. That's where they lived, about a mile from Jerusalem. And I know initially when you read this story, you think, man, Martha, she's being hospitable. She's inviting Jesus over to the house. She's working hard. She's preparing for him. Kind of the things that we might do for our guests, right? Maybe cook some food, maybe straighten something up. She wanted things to be right for Jesus. And so she was serving and working. And initially you might think, man, that was a good thing to do, right? And initially we might feel for Martha and her situation. But the Bible says she was cumbered or distracted. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, don't you care that Mary's not helping me? I'm working alone. And Jesus responds with, you're careful or anxious about too many things, Mary. So there's a couple things I'd like to point out today and kind of dig into. And that is, first of all, Mary's attitude in regards to her time, attention, and submissiveness to the Lord. Martha's distracted attitude and reaction, and Jesus' answers. So first we see Mary's attitude. It says that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sitting at Jesus' feet, doesn't that show interest and time? Sitting at someone's feet? She wasn't casually walking by, she wasn't standing, but she was actually sitting at the Lord's feet. You know, unfortunately, many of us have had to be in hospitals caring for family members. And when the doctor comes and talks to us, what does he do? He asks us to sit down. Because that shows care. That shows that he's willing to spend some time and talk to us. And he's concerned about the situation, right? Maybe you've been caught into your boss's work and he asks you to sit down. And you are assuming this is probably going to be a conversation, a serious conversation, because you're sitting down. And so sitting down at Jesus' feet, Mary is showing time. She's showing interest. She's also showing quality. Her attention is on the Lord. She's not walking around. She's not doing other things. When Mariah was 2 years old, I was a senior at Northland. And I was studying education. And we had to, I had to do student teaching. And so we went and stayed with some friends in Lower Michigan. And these friends had a little Cocker Spaniel. And Cocker Spaniels to me are kind of ornery and mean, but and this one upheld that character. It was a fluffy, cute dog, though. And he had the run of the house. You know, he could go wherever he wanted. But at dinner time, that dog named Freckles would come over and he would sit at the table. And he wouldn't just sit anywhere at the table. He would sit right next to Mariah at the table. Because that dog knew what was going to happen. Sure enough, you know, as the dog intently gazes at Mariah, she drops food and the dog eats it, right? And the dog would just sit at dinner and watch Mariah and gaze at her. All of her attention was on Mariah. And that's an example of what Mary is doing here, right? She's sitting at Jesus' feet with her attention and time and focus, this time and quality that Mary is giving to Jesus here. Now, after dinner, Freckles would go about his business and not even want Mariah to pet him, right? That's just how that dog was, and we're going to get back to that part of it. But the application here for us would be, do we take time, quality time, to sit and wait and listen and spend time with the Lord? We sang a song, As the Deer Panteth for the Brook. That song is based on one of the Psalms. Is that our hearts? Do we desire those times with the Lord, with Jesus? Sometimes we just have 5 minutes here, there, maybe 10 minutes. But if we constantly are spending only 5 or 10 minutes with the Lord, we're not going to have that strong of a relationship. If I spent 5 or 10 minutes talking with my wife for weeks, we wouldn't have a very good relationship. We need to have that extended time where we're spending quality time. Everything else out of our minds, maybe our phones put away, and focus on the Lord and spend time with him. Now, Mary had Jesus right there in front of her, right? We don't have a physical Jesus right in front of us. But Jesus actually said that we have even a greater benefit in John 16. And what is that benefit? That benefit is the Spirit. That's what he said. He said, it is beneficial that I go, because my Spirit will come and be with you. And the Spirit teaches us and works through God's Word. We don't have Jesus speaking to us anymore. We have God's Word speaking to us. And the Spirit uses God's Word in our lives. I was talking to my kids just the other day about the Spirit and how in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers like it does today, like he does today. He would temporarily indwell people, but not like he does today. And we have that advantage. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us presently if we're believers all the time. And that kind of brings me to the next point, which is being submissive to that Spirit and being submissive to the Lord. You know the phrase sitting at Jesus' feet is found two other places in the New Testament. It's found after Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, out of a man and into the pigs. It says the villagers came and they found the man clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet. What was he doing? He was learning from Jesus. He was being submissive to Jesus. Also, the Bible says the Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, what did he do? He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, Gamaliel was his teacher, the one that he learned from, the one that he was submissive to, and soaked in everything that he was telling him. And so sitting, I believe, shows a posture of submission. And this is also a lot of island cultures look at this as well. I know my wife's culture, for example, being lower than the man shows respect and submission. And women will often crawl on their hands and knees if a man is sitting down because it shows submission. And I think, you know, Mary's posture here, sitting, shows her willing to be submit to the Lord. And James 1:25 comes to mind. And it should be our attitude as we come to the Lord, reading His Word and praying. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." So someone who comes, spends time with the Lord, and is willing to do what He wants and what He shows them to do. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like Mary. Now the Spirit makes the Word of God come alive, right? And He also can remind us of the Word of God all throughout the day. This is called meditation. So we see that Mary spent time, gave her attention, she was willing to obey. We should have a specific time as well that we spend time with the Lord each day. But don't forget that we have the privilege of God's Spirit to remind us of His Word all day long. We should continue walking with the Lord throughout the day, right? We may not be able to sit and just focus on our devotions and on the Word of God all day, but we can walk with the Lord all day through meditating on His Word and remembering, right? Meditating is found in Psalms chapter 1 as a good passage for that. If you could turn to Psalms chapter 1. And meditating is not what you think of in the world, right? When you think of meditating in the world, you think of, I'm going to clear my mind of all else and not think of anything, right? That is actually the opposite of what meditation is, right? Meditation, according to the God's Word and the way it's used in the Bible, is to ponder or muse or rethink. So it actually is to think. It's to think about something specific. And we'll read verses 2 and 3 again here. In Psalms chapter 1, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." So we're supposed to meditate or think about God's word, about God, day and night. That's an interesting command, right? Meditate day and night. It could mean that it's just kind of all the time, whenever we can, right? But have you ever thought about meditating on the Lord at night? I know sometimes, and it's probably happened to you, where you wake up and you are all of a sudden thinking about something. And oftentimes, if you're having a difficult time in your life about something, if there's a situation or a problem that has come up that you're struggling with, that you're stressed out about, that's what comes to your mind, right? Or maybe you even dream about it because it's that big of a thing to you. You dream about it. And I think in this way, we can meditate by putting God in our thoughts all throughout the day and especially before bed. Many of us fall asleep with our phones in our face or worrying about our problems throughout the day. But wouldn't it be much better to fall asleep thinking about God, one of His attributes, or what He showed us as we read His Word that day, to meditate on that as we fall asleep? God can use that. Even throughout the night, I believe. I think music is another way that we can meditate. Godly music. Have you ever been just, maybe you heard a song like a week ago and it just pops in your head, right? That's music can be very powerful. So godly music. There's some blessings and focus of meditating on God's word that we see in Psalms. And I'd like to just look at those quickly as well. Verse 3. As we meditate, the Bible says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So the Bible says the man who meditates on God's word and stays away from these characters in verse 1, the Bible says we would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now when I think of a tree planted by the rivers of water, I don't think of a desert with a shrub or a cactus or a tumbleweed that I've seen blowing around out in the East Bay lately. That's not the kind of tree God's talking about here. He's talking about a green, lush, lots of leaves, lots of fruit tree by the water that has plenty of water. In my backyard, I have 4 fruit trees, and it took me a long time to get those things growing where they are now. One of them is still scrawny and yellow. But 3 of them are very green, and they have lots of fruit on them. And that's the kind of tree that God tells us we would be as we meditate on His Word and we stay away from sin. We'll be full of fruit. You know, when we think of fruit in the Scriptures, we ought to think of the fruit of the Spirit. God produces fruit of the Spirit as we walk with Him, as we spend time with Him. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. You want to know someone or know if someone's been in the Word, been with God? You're going to see fruit of the Spirit. The Bible teaches us. Things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We all want joy. We all want peace. We want those things. But sometimes we go about our own way trying to get them instead of doing what God wants us to do, which is to spend time with Him. The verse goes on to say, His leaf shall not wither or fade. There's no end to the fruit that God can produce in our life. The last phrase there says, whatsoever He does will prosper. This reminds me of Joseph in Genesis, when the Bible says that God made Joseph to prosper in the sight of his bosses. It happened with Potiphar, and it happened in prison. And God will make things that we do to prosper. Now, these are things, obviously, that we do in God's power and for God's purpose. Right? We can't tack this onto anything that we want to do and say we're going to prosper. But God does prosper the things that we do in His will. When we sit at Jesus' feet, meditate on His Word, when things come into our lives, we have Him to lean on. We have our relationship with Him. The most important thing. That's peace. That's true peace. That's true joy. What happens when we don't spend time and we don't give attention to Christ and we don't meditate on His Word and we get our focus off of Christ? Well, we see that example in this story as well back in Luke chapter 10, right? We see Martha. We become more like Martha is what happens. Martha's response, how does she respond? She says, Do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? So not only is she getting angry at her sister, but she's almost blaming Christ for not caring about it. Right? She put her focus on what? On what she was doing. That's what she did. She put her focus on her serving instead of her focus on the Lord. When we put our focus on other things, we can get discouraged pretty quickly. You know, sometimes we focus on our family, and it's good things, right? There's nothing wrong with working hard to provide for your family. But if we put our focus on our work or our family or our kids, what happens when one of our kids pass away or when we lose our job? We get discouraged, right? But if we have our focus and our hope and our joy in our relationship with the Lord, it would never be taken away. It's always present. We would never lose our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. So we can't serve two masters. We can't put all of our time and energy and focus into worldly things and our relationship with the Lord. We want that to be our focus. You know, if you have 2 pens and you hold them in front of your face, the closer they are together, you can kind of focus on both of them. But the farther they get apart, it's impossible to focus on both. We're going to do one or the other. And if our relationship with the Lord is primary, that should be our focus. And the world, and God, obviously, are way farther than my hands could go, right? You know, God says, follow me with all your heart. The world says, follow your own heart. You don't need it to change. God says, be content with what you have. The world says, grab as much as you can. God says, don't lie, be honest, and be just. The world says, cheat your father if you can gain. God says, be charitable, sacrificially give. The world says, keep your own, invest it. God says, be careful for nothing or don't worry. The world says, be anxious, think about everything. Make use of all your time, use your time wisely. So it's very difficult to focus on two things that are completely opposite. We need to remember that our relationship with the Lord is more important than anything else that we do. We don't want to become bitter and angry in our service for the Lord. We can't serve and focus on both masters. If we aren't focusing on Christ, you can be sure we're focusing on the world. Just like Mary, we need to sit and focus on Christ every day as we live and go about serving Him. Let's look at Martha a little bit more here. So Martha was distracted with her serving. The Bible uses the word cumbered in verse 40. That word cumbered means distracted or overly busy. That's what it means. She let her task take her away from Christ. Not something bad, she was serving the Lord. Something good, but she allowed it to take her away from the most important thing, which was listening to Christ. There are a lot of good things in our lives that we can and should be doing, right? Serving the Lord, being at church, spending time with family, working, helping others. But we can be too busy and allow that to crowd out our time with the Lord. We don't want that to happen. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse, as the old phrase goes. You know, we try to serve without a relationship. We try to do without being. We need to be first. We need the energy to serve. It's like all the electric cars that you see out on the road, right? If somebody just got in those and turned it on, they wouldn't get very far. They have to be charged first. And as Christians, we have to be charged by our relationship with the Lord, with spending time at His feet, just like Mary did. Sometimes we attempt to serve God without charging up. We need to focus on the Lord, spend time with Him, and get His strength and purpose first. Sometimes we wonder why things don't go as planned, or we get upset easily. Look at what Martha said now. I have a hard time reading the end of verse 40 without negative emotion, right? She said to the Lord, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I could just imagine Martha, you know, working, maybe cooking some food or setting the table or whatever she was doing, just fuming more and more on the inside. Here I am. Don't you care, Jesus? So, good question to ask if you're busy serving the Lord. Are you getting upset about what someone else is doing or not doing like Martha was? Ask yourself, are you really serving for the Lord? Are you really doing what you're doing for the Lord? Maybe it's something as small as changing a dirty diaper or washing the dishes at home. Maybe it's at work when someone else is not working as hard as you are. Maybe it's giving at church when you don't think someone else is giving. If you're upset because you're serving and someone else is not, have you been to the Lord first? Have you been energized by Him, or are you trying to do it in your own strength, by your own power? There was a psalmist that wrote a psalm, kind of give us an example of both aspects of this story, Mary and Martha. Psalms chapter 73 is written by the psalmist Asaph. And it starts out with kind of a woe is me kind of theme. He says in verse 2, my feet were almost gone. He says in verse 3, the wicked prosper. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish for. So he's serving. He's doing what's right. But he's upset because the wicked seem to prosper. Right? But you know what happens in verse 17, in the middle of the chapter? This is what he says. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. In the Old Testament, they actually went to the temple where God's presence was. And so he says, when I went to God's presence, when I went into God's presence, into the holy place where God dwelt, the temple, then I understood. Then my attitude completely changed. I understood the end of the wicked, and I understood how blessed I truly am. That's what he says. So he was like Martha until he went into God's presence, and then he became more like Mary. Martha was not joyful in her serving, but there is much joy in truly serving the Lord. When we go to God and spend time with Him, He produces joy as we serve Him. John 15, 11, Jesus talks about His joy, and He says, your joy will be full if you listen and obey Him. As we abide in Christ, He gives us joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. A wise man once said, joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence today. You know, if we're spending time with the Lord, we're going to be joyful people. We're going to be content people. We're going to be peaceful people. Joy or peace is a byproduct of a right relationship with the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So go to God's word. And then what's going to happen? Well, the verse goes on to say, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That sounds like joyful service. That sounds like we're joyfully encouraging one another in the Lord. But what happens first is that we go to the word of God. Martha was not joyful in her serving. She was upset that Mary was not helping. Jesus' answer. In verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Have you ever done this with your kids? Maybe you've said their name twice. Maybe for different reasons. Probably, maybe because you're upset at them. But maybe it's a compassionate thing. And I think that's why Jesus does it here. I know I've done that with my kids before. I really want you to get this. Please, please. Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, please get this. His compassion. He says, you are careful and troubled about many things. Careful and troubled. Now this word careful is the same Greek word that's used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, which says, in the King James, be careful for nothing. Or in other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, guess what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't be anxious or worry about things in our life like Martha was doing. Go to God. Go to God. Go to God first. Go to God in the middle. Go to God after. At the end of verse 41, there's a colon in the King James and then the word but, which obviously connects those two verses, right? So Jesus says, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good thing, that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus is saying, Martha, you're worried about way too many things. Mary has chosen the one thing that is actually needful. And that one thing will energize everything else. That's what needs to happen in our lives. Allow that one most important needful thing to energize us and to change us, to make us more like Christ. In 1997, I joined the Marine Corps. I figured I'd throw this in for you. I joined the Marine Corps and went to boot camp, South Carolina, Parris Island. Parris Island is surrounded by a swamp, and there are tons of bugs. And at boot camp, the primary thing they try to teach you at boot camp isn't how to be a Marine, but it's discipline. They teach you discipline. That's the needed thing that you need to come out of boot camp learning and understanding. Discipline. And those bugs in Parris Island made it very difficult to be disciplined. I remember one day I was standing in formation waiting to go into the chow hall for lunch. And we couldn't move, just standing in that position of attention, and there was a little tiny bug crawling on my face. And it was in my nose and all over my face. And it was starting to go in my ear. And I went just like this. As fast as I possibly could, with as little movement as I possibly could, And sure enough, the drill instructor called me. And I didn't eat lunch that day because I was outside of the chow hall doing exercises. Because I had forgotten that that bug wasn't that important. What was important was that I learned discipline. Was that one most important thing that they tried to teach us? Discipline. And in our lives, the one most important thing is our relationship with the Lord. Is sitting at Jesus' feet. Just like Mary did. Just like the dog Freckles did with Mariah, just staring at her. Spending time with the Lord. Psalms 27:4, David says this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David understood. You know, David understood what it meant to dwell with the Lord. And that's what he wanted. So in closing, we get to have a relationship with the King of Kings, the great creator of everything. We get that opportunity. We get that privilege. So maybe you're sitting here and you don't understand what it means even to have a relationship with the Lord. Put your faith in him today. Transfer your trust from yourself to him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and the not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She gave her time, her attention. She was submissive. She was willing to obey. Martha was distracted. What about you and I? Are we willing to put things aside in our day and spend time and focus with the Lord? Do we take that focus throughout our day? Do we meditate on him? I feel like there's a really good example from our Sunday school book, actually, about this. On page 120, I'm just going to read part of it in closing here. But some of you will remember this if you were in Sunday school, but it's a story about a kid named Phil. And it says, Phil played first string on the soccer team for his Christian high school. One day, after soccer practice, Phil jogged over the bleachers and sat down on the bench next to his coach. They exchanged greetings and talked briefly about the scrimmage the team had just finished. Finally, Phil posed a question. He said, "Coach, I've been struggling with something in my spiritual life and wonder if I could talk to you about it." Coach said, "Sure, what's up?" "Well, since my decision at summer teen camp to live for the Lord, I have really made an effort to be faithful in reading my Bible and spending some time in prayer every day. It has not been easy, but I've been pretty faithful." "If it's any encouragement to you, Phil, the difference in you this year is noticeable," his coach replied. "You used to be far more uptight about things that did not go your way. I've really been encouraged." "Thanks, coach, but I really feel that something is still missing. In addition to my regular devotions, I volunteered to lead singing when the youth group does the Wednesday night service at the Rescue Mission, and I started the Thursday morning prayer meeting for the seniors before first hour of class." So his service, he's serving, right? "But even with all these things going on, I still feel as if my heart is so cold toward God. I'm doing a lot of the right things now, and I really am glad I'm doing them. But there has to be something more to the Christian life." Coach said, "Phil, let me ask you a question about the time you spend reading your Bible each day. When you open your Bible to read every day, what are you looking for?" "Well, I have been reading through the New Testament, and I usually try to find something that would encourage me for the day or a principle that I can apply." "That's fine, Phil, but do you have any idea why God gave us the Bible in the first place?" Phil says, "I guess he gave it as a guidebook for life." "It certainly does teach us how to live, Phil, but it is far more than that. When you get home, look up 1 John 5:9. It says, 'This is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his son.' Your Bible is first and foremost a revelation from God about his son. There is a person at the center of everything you read in the Bible. Listen to this. If you merely look for principles and encouraging passages, you will find what you are looking for, but you will miss God in the process." He goes on to talk about this a little bit more. Towards the end of the conversation, he says, "You really cannot find lasting joy or peace any other way. You have to take the Bible personally and treat God like a person before your heart will be warmed. And the author goes on to say, Phil's coach is right. He described to Phil a relationship with God based upon fellowship. Personal interactions with God. This kind of interaction with God delights him because we are finding our delight in him. We're finding our purpose in him, in our relationship with him. That's where we're going for joy and peace and strength and the motivation to serve him. Let us pray that we would all do that every day throughout the week as we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for the relationship that we can have with you. And Lord, we wonder why you desire to have a relationship with us. But you sent your Son to die, to pay for our sins, so that we could have a relationship with you, Lord. And we thank you for that. As you would help us to honor and glorify you through our relationships with you, may that energize us to serve you and to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.